Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, joins us. Pete, anything? Pete, go ahead and give me a I told you so. I'll feel good. Just say, I told you so. Go ahead.
I told you so, Joe. You know what, though?
I've been saying, I said it three times this morning. I said, Pete Bitt said it. As soon as he saw this team, he was at camp. He was killing it. We kind of rolled our eyes like, Pete, you don't know. Let him play it out. You didn't think it was going to be like this, though. You could not have thought it was going to be this bad.
No, I did not. I did not think it would be this bad. I mean, look, across the board, it's been awful. No way did I think the okay, they had corner issues and secondary issues and everything else, but no way I thought that defensive line would get blown off the ball the way they're getting blown off the ball. I mean, they can't – the holes are cavernous. They can't tackle. It's just a bad look. And then you go to the other side of the ball, and, you know, with Tyreek Hill being gone, that changes the way you play. But still, they're just not a good football team right now. And I think it bleeds down from the top. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you have Tua talking about guys not showing up on time for players-only meetings, which, you know, that's a whole other side. We'll get to that in a second. But that kind of comes from the top. I mean, you know, if you can let these guys get away with doing things for a couple years and all of a sudden you're going to try and be a disciplinarian, it just doesn't work.
I don't think he had any idea when he made his comments the other night. Everybody else, the alert went up. Bo, everybody noticed right away that he had maybe wasn't the right thing. Maybe that should have been said privately, which, by the way, no matter what anybody else on that team says, I totally agree. You got a problem with somebody. And by the way, I hope we never have to hear about players only meetings ever again, because that's all this team's been talking about.
Well, I mean, Joe, first off, if it's happening, it's a reflection of him.
Yes.
As a leader. If he said it the way he said it, he just threw a blanket over the entire roster, which is horrible to do. If you got a problem, and if, say you wanted to go out there and say that and send a message to somebody, you can't just indict the entire team, because now everybody in that locker room, you look at him and you go, okay, well, he was one, he was late, he was probably late, even if they weren't. And so I think he handled it poorly from two different aspects of it. And so, yeah, never in my wildest dreams did I think that he would be the kind of guy that would stand up and you know, throw his teammates under the bus, particularly since he doesn't exactly come across as a leader who's got that fire in his belly that's going to call him out privately if they don't show up on time.
Wow. Well, listen, on top of all that, it's been a crazy time in the National Football League right now, starting – with the fact that the Patriots are in first place in the AFC East. I did not see them getting things flipped around. Last time I was thinking about them, they turned the ball over five times against the Steelers and still almost won the game. But, man, they're playing. They look like a different team. What happened there?
Yeah, a couple quick things, Joe. First off, I was wrong because I picked the Dolphins to be last. I didn't know the Jets would be this bad. So I got to give them that. I got that going for them. The other thing is, when you were a player, did Marino ever call player-only meetings?
You know what? Bo and I talked about it a little bit. We can't get Bo on. We're trying to get a mic to work in here. We can't get it to work. But Bo doesn't remember. We had him. I don't remember. Baldy yesterday said he remembers them and they never worked. So I guess we had them, but listen, our team was driven pretty heavily by the guy that was the head coach. So that kind of took care of it. But we did have some get-togethers when we lost a couple of games or things weren't going well and guys seemed a little salty. But I don't remember what happened to him, Pete. I'd be lying to you. It was the 80s.
But Joe, here's the other part of it. You didn't need to have player-only meetings for a discipline thing. You need to have player-only meetings to try and go, how are we going to deal with this lunatic for the next 7 weeks? You know what I mean? The discipline was instilled from that guy. He was the discipline. You didn't want – you guys were in fear of him. You know what I mean?
back in the day, not that you feared him, but you respected him, and you did what he told you to do, and you understood that that was part of the process. You hated every bit of it,
yeah.
But you did it because you respected and you feared your, not fear, but you know what I mean, because you can't right. say that anymore, but you know what I mean. And now it's not that way anymore. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I didn't think this was going to end up being, like you said, the problems you got. I know everybody's talking about Tua, but the bigger problem right now is this run defense. And if it's not inside, it's outside. And it's just, they're giving up a lot of yards, dead last. And that thing, by the way, who you think wins the game this week? Cleveland's got their own problems and as bad as anybody. What do you think happens?
Well, one team has a unit that can actually play, and that's the defense of the Browns. So I think the Browns are going to find a way to win that game. It'll be ugly, but I think they'll find a way to win. Again, if you can't stop the run, it just demoralizes you in everything yeah. you do. And so I think that's going to be a problem for them. So, and then, you know, then when to change, by the way, big changes coming, and they'll come after the season. I'm not a big believer in changes during the season do anything, by the way. All it does is it starts the process maybe and gets you onto that a little bit. But I don't think it does anything, Joe. I just, you know, what are you going to do? Give it to Anthony Weaver? Take a look at his defense. And not to say he can't be a head coach, because I like some of the stuff he says, but you're going to reward him for the way his defense is played? Who do you give it to? What do you do with that? You know, so I don't know necessarily if that's the right thing to do, but there will be changes at the end of the season. And by the way, the general manager needs to go too. I mean, you know, it should be a package deal out the door when they do.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because if you do, we got trade deadline coming up here in a couple weeks. So I got to ask you, do you let Chris Greer make moves if there's some guys you want to trade? That's got to come from the top, doesn't it? Whoever Mr. Ross, or does he just, hey, finish it out and do what you think we should do? Or what do you think would happen?
Well, I mean, if you can get assets for guys, you get rid of them. That's what I would do. I mean, you have to look at it, particularly if they lost this week. Yeah, you have to look at it from that standpoint. If you can get, you know, draft picks for guys and, you know, Chubb or Phillips or whoever, and you know, I've even heard Zach Sealer's name mentioned around the league a little bit. See, teams looking at him. So if you could get assets back for those guys, then why not? Because it's going to be a rebuild, and you have to start all over. And the more draft picks you have, the better off you'll be. Even if they're third, fourth, fifth round, the more you have, the better chance you have to hit those guys and rebuild the thing. So, yeah, I think if I'm the Miami Dolphins, if they lost to Cleveland, particularly this week, I'm starting to trade off my assets.
Let me get back to old Drake May now. How well is he playing for the Patriots? And I looked at that schedule. Now, again, I'm not saying they're world beaters yet. They got a chance to win 11 or 12 games. You see that schedule they have?
It's amazing, but you know what? The flip side of that is, take a look at the Bills' schedule. It's pretty easy too. I mean, those two teams have you know, the Bills play. They got Carolina in a couple weeks. They're a better team than you think they are, but they're not that good. And there's a couple other ones before they play the Chiefs at home. So their schedule's not that tough either. But I am impressed by what the Patriots have done. And I thought, remember before the season, I said they would be the second team in the division. I thought they would be feisty. I thought they would be a challenger every week, and they would push for maybe a wild card spot. They've accelerated that curve. They're ahead of that. And I give two things. If you have a coach and you have a quarterback, you're going to be good. That's the way it is in the NFL. If you have a coach and quarterback, you're going to have a good team. You supplement the roster around them, get some pass rushers, you'll be a good team. Well, they have the coach. Mike Vrabel showed over the course of his career that he can instill a toughness in a team. And two, they have a quarterback now.
Yeah.
That kid's the real deal. Some of the throws he made last week against New Orleans, you went, wow. And so coach, quarterback, great combination, and away they go. And I think that's the difference in New England Patriots, and they're going to hang around all year.
Pete, they're trying to mute me here.
We finally got him on. It only took us 20 minutes, but we got him on.
They're trying to take my voice away from me.
What have you been saying? The Dolphins must have turned off your mic.
Well, that's what I think. So I think they sent some bugs in.
Pete.
I think Joe's been beating Tua down so much this week. They put some bugs in this, in this studio so that no one else can talk. They're trying to get Joe's microphone, but he doesn't even need a microphone to be heard. So
no. No, I got to tell you,
a loud man. He really is a loud man.
Hey, Pete, it's been a rough couple of weeks around here. I ain't going to lie to you. We're
a couple of weeks. It's been a couple since the day we left Indianapolis.
You're right.
It's been a black cloud hanging over this whole whatever we're seeing this season.
Yeah. And
it's bad. I mean, it's sad. It's bad because you know, at one point a couple years ago, they looked like they were going to be, you know, one of those teams that hung.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Around for a long time, and they were sustainable, and it just crumbled. It fell apart, and I look. I always go back to discipline. I really do. To me, that's tackling in your bad tackling. Tackling is discipline. It's want to. It's drive, desire. The mistakes. It's drive, desire. It's all the same thing.
Always said, if you look at the best team in this league, and the worst team in this league, and everyone in between. From a roster standpoint, it's razor thin, right? The difference between the best and the worst from a standpoint of players, it's pretty, you know, some guys might have that special player.
One quarterback.
But you know, to me, the difference in the best team and the worst team is the small details, right? The small details. Joe, you remember our guy. I mean, we would have our game, our playbook would have a playbook. We'd have the plays. We'd have a little box in the top that gave you some little details that if this happens, this and so, you know, you got teams that they're undisciplined. Some of them don't even know the rules of the game, and you try to win, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
You're right, and look, discipline is not just, you know, people think it's just being on time and doing that. It's taking it to the field and not having 42,000 pre-snap penalties. It's not having, guys out of position on plays and getting busted coverages because they know the responsibilities. It's the want to and the drive and desire. My coach is instilled this in me that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make sure that I get that running back on the ground. Instead of popping, you know, he runs by me and I can't tackle. I mean, you look at, I'll give you both examples in the division. The Jets are the worst tackling team in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miami's run, the cavities that guys run through on that defense are just amazing. And that's want to. And right now, there is, in both buildings, I question the want to on those players.
Well, Joe, I talked this on about during the game. You know, they must have 20 coaches on the sidelines, 20 coaches. And in a critical point in the game, we've got to take a timeout because we've got 12 guys in the defensive huddle. And you got 20 coaches on the sideline over there.
Yeah.
And you can't put 11 guys on the sideline. You got to take a timeout.
Yeah.
And give that up.
Not the first time this year.
No, not the first time this year. And that's just what you're talking about. And that's what I'm talking about, the details. That little thing, it's just a timeout. Oh, okay. What happens when you got, you know, what happens when you're down to 46 seconds? Now how valuable is that timeout?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Hey, Pete, before I let you ride here, Tampa Bay number one on the power ranking, man. By the way, what a great story, Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
And he doesn't want to hear anybody complaining about around the league about offensive line problems because that guy's working around it, man. He is something else.
It's amazing. And when I was there, you know, I went there for camp. I was there in a mini camp and I looked at that team. I said, oh my God, they're really, really talented. And then he just got picked apart on the offense. Think about this. He has not played one game, not one, not the first one, not any of them, with the starting offensive line in their spots, not one. And he won't because the right guard's not coming back. He's out for the year. But they have moved guys around that line. Now they're finally getting a few guys back. You know, Wirfs is back and they're healthy now. But then you look at the receiver group. The other day he was throwing some on the TV broadcast. They said 4, 5, and 6. No, it was 5, 6, and 7 because Evans was out, Ibuka was out, McMillan was out, and Godwin was out. So he was throwing to 5, 6, and 7, and he won the game. And he didn't have his running back, Bucky Irvin, in that game either. So it's a tribute to him. It's a tribute to their roster building. You know, Jason Light, people don't pay attention to what good a job he does drafting. And he'll be the first to tell you when he first got there, he had problems drafting. The first draft wasn't great. and he adjusted his philosophy. And you look at his drafts, they're very good at finding guys. When they drafted Ibuka this year, everybody said, well, why aren't they drafting a pass rusher? Well, he drafted Ibuka because he knew that the two receivers were getting up in the years and one was coming off an injury. Yeah. Then Ibuka gets banged up and Tez Johnson, who he drafted then later in the draft, comes in and makes the big play down the field. Why? Because he can run.
Yeah.
So I think it's a tribute to Jason Light, and it's also a tribute to Baker Mayfield being the MVP right now.
Pete, man, I wish we had about 4 hours with you, brother. Thank you so much for coming on here.
The things we could get into right now.
That vision of sitting next to you and looking to see where Ann is as you're carrying on. So thank you.
All right, guys.
All right. Take care. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.